Let me launch straight in as I continue this series, Mind Matters. And we're going to share communion at the end of this. I'm going to sort of lead us into that with what I want to say. Gene, if you could put the screen up, that'd be great. Thank you. John 8. It's on there somewhere. John 8, verse 31. I'll read it anyway. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth..." Say that loudly. "And the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" If you've been a Christian more than a year or two, then you probably heard this statement, but never properly seen where it fits in the context of Scripture. And I just want for a few minutes, as we talk about Mind Matters, to just really home in on this and challenge each one of us. But let me sort of sandwich it with a bit of a story. You see, in 2003 and 2004, I spent a year in prison. Oh, I'm glad you think that's funny. It was a Wednesday night, 2 hours a week, because the crime wasn't too bad. just in case any of you are looking a little bit worried, confused, or think the justice system has gone mad, I was invited to be part of a team of people by the Prison Fellowship that were doing a thing called the Sycamore Tree Project. That's based on the Bible, the story of Zacchaeus when he climbed the sycamore tree. Jesus went into his house as a result of his encounter with Jesus. You may recall that he gave back to those who he had robbed from. And the whole idea was something of that, that people who had sort of committed crimes against society would somehow not just do time, but would pay back in some way or other for the crime that they committed. And over that year, if ever you've done any sort of prison work, one or two of you may have done, it is an interesting thing when you sat with people who, if I'm being bluntly honest, butter wouldn't melt, and then you find that they've bludgeoned somebody to death. Or the crimes that had gone on, you just walk away feeling, you know, you expect these people, forgive me if this sounds a bit, you know, but somehow you expect to go in there and meet people who are serious, serious criminals, and they sort of look it. You know, I've watched Line of Duty. Trigger point tonight. And somehow criminals, it's written on the face, isn't it? No. And the stories I could tell, but time doesn't allow. Why are they in there? Why is their freedom restricted? Because they pose a threat to society and people around. Jesus, on another occasion, he said this as a sort of manifesto of his life. Luke 4:18, he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah, the Old Testament, was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Why? "Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." If you go back to our verse here, Gene, if you could flick it back, then the debate around this chapter is very much the questioning Jesus. They're trying to decipher in their minds who this guy is, what he's about, what his mission is. His authenticity, his credentials, his message, his mission. And in the middle of all that, he makes this statement, knowing, because Jesus was not naive, that there was going to be a reaction to what he said. Because it says in our verse here, to the Jews who had believed him. So these weren't random people just caught up in the swathe of the momentum. These were people who were beginning to get the idea, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. That's not the first time he'd said that and the only time. But then he throws this one in, knowing that they're going to react to this. And then, If you hold on to my teaching, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The reaction comes straight away. And it's around that reaction. Let me just hover for just a few minutes. Let's dissect it, because somehow in my story of the prisoner, I'll come back to, Jesus saw these people as prisoners. They didn't see themselves as prisoners. You see, what does Jesus sort of throw back at them? He uses their own words, because their defense is it's about pride, it's about history, it's about perspective. We are descendants of Abraham. That sort of pride thing, you know. Do you know who we are? Man from Nazareth? And then they push it a little bit further. You know, it's not just about pride in who we are. There's the history behind it. We are descendants of Abraham. Then they push it a bit further. You're talking about freeing us. We, the descendants of Abraham, have never been slaves to anyone. What? Can I just remind you, going back to Egypt, Syria, Persia, Babylon? He doesn't do that. I'm just... Do you see what's sort of going on here? You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Their reaction, we are not imprisoned. There's nobody locked us up. We have never been locked into anyone. Oh, yes, you have. No, no. It's not pantomime time. Not yet. Jesus, he knows, he sees, he gets that they've been locked into long-held traditions that have bent and swerved over the years. And even now, in the context of when this is written, I don't know, if I was Jesus, I'd be looking around going like, and Rome? Yeah? Where you are right now. In their minds, in their perspective, they were deceiving themselves. That's why mind matters. What the heart wants, the mind justifies. Oh, that hurt. Why? Because I've done it 1,000 times. And I won't even say, haven't you? Because some of you might not think you have, but this is for you. Gosh, feeling hard. What the heart wants, the mind justifies. Is there something of the context of this that touches us today? As believers, would Jesus sit with us and go, Steve, if you know the truth will set you free. I'm free, man. Really? Have you got no prejudice that inflicts itself upon you? Have you got no jealousy? Is there nothing around in your mind and your heart that makes you feel a bit like these? Do you know who I am? Do you know the church that I'm part of? Do you know the amazing people that I worship with? Yes, I do. We can be imprisoned by the same. This word, no, the Greek language that the Bible's written in is so rich, isn't it? Because, you know, we think about no as in just a bit of information. I'm no Greek scholar. I did it, but it was 1978, so it was a millennium ago. Ginosoka. Doesn't sound Greek, really. Does it more Asian or something? And it simply means this in the context of what Jesus is saying here when he says, you will know the truth. You'll be free by knowing the truth. It understand from examining every human mode of knowing, using logic, using the senses, investigating, sifting evidence, and interrogating reality. Let me say that again. Know in this context means to understand from examining every human mode of knowing, using logic, the senses, investigation, sifting evidence, and interrogating reality. remember, this man who is saying this to these people is the one who self-declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You will know the truth. So in that quirky sort of way that Jesus does, he's actually pointing the finger at himself. That's what he's trying to get at. You will know the truth. That's not some information. That's not some school that you go to. That's not some course that you run for a day. That's me. Back to prison. Because I don't want to sort of run out of time. We can't communion. I said that these guys in Swinford all those years ago, they're in prison because they are a threat to society. Why in any way, shape or form would any opponent of the Christian gospel want to imprison you and I? Because knowing the truth will release the great potential of your life. And if you're an enemy of that, you are going to do your hardest to stop that happening. I do not want Connor to live a life that's full and right and fruitful and infecting people for the sake of the gospel. If I'm an opponent of that, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that guy is locked down, can't say another word, is cornered so that nobody can hear him. And the same with each of you in your 168. That's fine, it's not been out for a while. If you want to live a fruitful life, you want to be effective for the sake of the gospel, please do so, but be aware that there is an enemy of the gospel who is going to do everything he can to corner you, shut you up, close you down, make sure that your effect is at least minimal. If I was the enemy, that's what I would do. I'm not going to sit there going, go on, Wendy, preach it at them. I'm going to say, just shut up, woman. Don't say another word. Hypothetically, Wendy. Knowing the truth releases the potential of your life. Knowing the truth will free you. Why? Because if you're an enemy again, you are a threat to society. That's what Sarah's just prayed around. You're disturbing all that the enemy has settled for years. The corrupt nature of the society that we live in, the effect that sin has had over the millennium that it's rolled out, the devious ways that people work that we are seeing in its worst form right now. And if you are going to pray, and like we've heard this morning, you're going to begin to attack some of that and break it with your prayers, you are going to have an effect. And so somebody somewhere wants to imprison you so that, because the world needs to see Jesus. You see, if we're imprisoned, the poor are neglected, the downtrodden remain that, and the vulnerable are abused even more. That's the manifesto in Luke 4 that Jesus set. That's the mission that he puts each one of us as believers in our 168 to fulfill. So, in the words of a great song, sing a little louder. Talk a little more. Lift a little higher. Go a little further, give a little more. Whatever it is, however way it's expressed in our lives, in our Christian faith, to try and be what God has called us to be, leaking out his message day by day by day. Do not let anybody imprison you. In the words of Christ, we're going to share communion in a second. Know the truth, as in receive him, and the truth that you know will set you free. And any enemy opposition who's watching in this morning, tough. We mean business. Whether we're giving money towards marriage to help those people in Ukraine who are desperate this time, whether we're supporting the work of God here, in our serving in whatever way it may be, whether in our workplace we get the opportunity in whatever way it might be to represent Christ. Do it, do it, do it. And be free to do it. And any of those thoughts that come in that might object to it or imprison you or stop you, then kick them. In Jesus' name. I want to said enough. So I'm going down here. I want to pray freedom on us all. And like these people, you might sit there thinking, I am not locked in. Don't take my word for it. Let the Holy Spirit shine a light on your life this morning. Walk out of this place in a few minutes' time with the freedom of God to live the life. Just hang. Can we just hang on a minute? Sorry. Don't go for the kids just yet, if you don't mind. Thanks. Just want to get this moment. Sorry. And let me pray for these two before they go, because I'm on a mission. You might have gathered. Stand with me if you would, Rob. Here's my invitation. We're going to create space because I'm aware, you know, we're still in an environment where, you know, we want people to be comfortable and not feel sort of close by in the virus sense. But I want this sort of area full here. If you want to be free, move out from where you are now and to come and stand in some space here, stand in the aisle. Something like, do it right now. That's it. Brill. Just move somewhere. Doesn't matter. Come out the front if you want to do. Find some space, comfortable where you are. Jesus. Jesus. Any more? Just these few? Yeah, people have moved. I'm aware of it. Let's follow on where Sarah left off. Just open your hands in a receiving mode. And as you do that, I'm praying that the freedom of God will come into your mind, because mind matters, and will affect your life, your lifestyle, your existence. Receive this today, because I believe it's the word of the Lord for us right now. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Right now, Lord, I come to you. We receive that anointing that you talked about all those years ago, that you've come to set the prisoners free. And I pray for each person stood now within the sound of my voice. I pray for the many people watching at home as they stand with us, and we pray today that we will know the freedom that Christ brings to us. Take off the shackles. Open our mouths. Give us legs to walk. Give us opportunities to serve and share. And I just pray there'll be a bit of a different feeling about our lives from this moment on. Because we know the truth. We've received Christ in a true and a fresh way. And freedom has come to us. And any mindset that we have, like these people here, that goes back to our history or who we are or what we've done, Lord, banish that right now and cause freedom to be the way that we walk. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.